Well, it sure is a blessing to be together. It's nice to be together, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's really awesome. So we're going to be looking at God's faithfulness. It blessed me that in the manifestations, right at the beginning there, God told us that he was faithful. And we're going to look in God's word at how faithful he is. You know, in September 18th, 1870, you remember, right? There was this expedition that went to northern Wyoming, and they found a geyser. And this geyser was a little bit unusual because every once in a while it would blow, you know, it would erupt. And it became so regular that they determined to name it Old Faithful. And Old Faithful is today one of the most predictable geographical elements that we have on planet Earth. Sort of interesting. Let's go to Exodus chapter 13, please. Old Faithful isn't in Exodus, but God's faithfulness is. Apparently it erupts about every 91 minutes. So that's really kind of interesting. Exodus chapter 13. Exodus 13. Verse 21. Exodus 13, 21. It says, and the Lord, here they are in the wilderness, it says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them in the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So here they are out in the wilderness. It's just a desert, you know, right? And they were there for a long time. How many years? 40 years. God had this pillar and this cloud. And at nighttime, it gave them light. In the daytime, it gave them a cloud, which gave them shade and protected them from anybody that was pursuing them. Day in and day out, God gave them this beautiful thing to protect them. Look at chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. Something else he did during that time. Exodus 16, verse 35. 16:35. You can read about it. The people complained. People are always complaining. And these people were no different. And they complained. And God said that he would take care of the problem. And in chapter 16, verse 35, it says, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to the land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came into the borders of the land of Canaan. Hear these guys, every single day for 40 years, every morning except on the Sabbath day, because they'd give twice as much the day before. Every morning, this stuff would show up that they could use for sustenance. Every day, God met their need. Every single day. 40 years. You know, do you think they kind of began to expect it? They probably did, right? They learned to expect it because God was faithful. Look at Joshua, please. Joshua chapter 5. What was God doing? He was meeting their needs. Joshua chapter 5. He said he would lead them out of Egypt, and he did. And he said that he would protect them and take care of them, and he did. In chapter 5 of Exodus, of Joshua, Joshua chapter 5. Look at verse 10, please. Joshua chapter 5, verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. Okay, so they had just finished going through the wilderness. They went over Jericho, which was the separation there, into the promised land. Okay, now they've arrived in the promised land. If you have a cell phone, put it on stun, please. And they did, verse 8, 11. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased On the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So every single day for 40 years, God was bringing down this stuff. You know why it's called manna, right? You know what manna means?
What is it?
They looked at it and they went, manna. What is it? And that was what its name was. So I think Brian and the Millbillies might stick. But anyway, every day. And then when they got into the promised land, they ate of the old corn. It doesn't mean it was like, you know, molded corn or something. What it means was that it was already prepared for them. It was already ready. They came into the promised land that God had promised, and he no longer needed to give them manna every day because all of their needs were met. That's how God is. And it just is a testimony to his tremendous faithfulness to Israel. And you can imagine after year one, they're thinking, I wonder if manna is going to come tomorrow. Well, after a while, they began to expect it. And we ought to expect that God is going to be faithful. If you go to Numbers, please. I think most of you know this one. In Numbers 23. Numbers 23. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers 23. I had a car once that I called Faithfully because I was hoping it would be faithful. It didn't really help. But anyway, God is faithful, okay? Numbers 23, verse 19. 23:19. Most of you know this verse. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? This is like a preposterous idea. If God said it, you think he's not going to do it? What was that figure you said, Lance? Erotesis, you know? Like, what's the answer to this? Everybody's going like, no, of course not. You know, hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? A key to acknowledging God's faithfulness is for us to recognize his will and his ability. You know, I understand why people have trouble with God's faithfulness, because people are not faithful. You know, you tell somebody you're going to meet them at a certain time, and maybe you had all good intentions, right? But something came up, right? The train was late, or there was a Giants game, or something happened, and perhaps, you know, you hadn't planned on it. You couldn't keep your word. God never has that problem. He always has his will to bless his people, and he always has the ability to bring his word to pass. So we really don't have to worry. And I know people have good intentions. Some people don't have good intentions, so you have to make all these documents, right? And so we employ lawyers all over the place. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. But the word of God says that God is faithful. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 7. And look at verse 9, please. Chapter 7, verse 9. This is a beauty. 7:9. It says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, who keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. I looked that up. I was kind of interested how long 1,000 generations would be. And what I learned on the internet, which is a little skeptical, but what I learned is typically a generation is considered to be about 20 to 25 years. So what's 1,000 times 20? Oh, come on. Jeez. What's 1,000 times 20? 20,000. Thank you. 20,000 years. Best we know, Adam and Eve were what, around 6,000 years ago? So God still has plenty of time. And it's still just a figure of speech, isn't it? God is faithful. And he's going to continue to show his faithfulness for a long, long time. I think God pretty much ends the argument. He is faithful, and he is going to bring it to pass. The word faithful here is interesting. This is actually a very interesting word. It's used in two major ways. One way, it's used to mean to believe in the active sense, you know? So when it says that Abraham believed God, it's this same Hebrew word in the Old Testament. And then when it says that God is faithful, it's this same word, but just in a different sense. So it's the same word, but how beautiful that they have that one root. If we are going to expect God to be faithful, we're going to have to believe what his word says about him. And then we recognize God's great faithfulness. If you turn to Numbers, please, chapter 11. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers 11. Moses had a little problem with God's faithfulness for a minute. Matter of fact, he kind of thought that he was going to do God's job for him, and it kind of gave him a little angst. I've had that problem myself, where I think I'm the one that has to bring God's word to pass. You ever been there?
Yeah.
It's pretty frustrating, isn't it? Yeah, even the best of us, dismal. But God can always bring his word to pass. He's willing and he's able. And if we recognize that, we should have no trouble with God's faithfulness. Even old faithful screws up sometimes. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But Numbers chapter 11, look at verse 31. Numbers 11, verse 31. No, I want 21, verse 21. Numbers 11, 21. See, you can't even trust me. All right. And Moses said, okay, here we are. And Moses said, the people among us, among whom I am, are 600,000 footmen. He's talking to God here, by the way. By the way, if you have an argument with God, talk to him, all right? Don't go to everybody else in town. Go right to God. Say, look, you said this, right? You know, he had no trouble with that. He went right to God and he said, these 600,000 people that are here, the men, plus all the women and children, he goes, that you said, I'll give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Verse 22, shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Remember, they brought flocks and herds with them. Remember that? He says, are we going to kill them all now and have nothing left? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? What do you want me to do? Go out there in the sea, which, by the way, they're in the desert, and go get all the fish? This is what he's saying to God. Look at God's response. And the Lord said unto Moses, Mo, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Hello, Moses, hello, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. You don't want God to say that to you. But he said, look, you have a problem with my ability? You got a problem, Mo. I'm going to show you something. Let's go down to verse 31. There went forth a wind from the Lord. A wind from the Lord. That's probably a little different from a wind from the Weather Channel. It says, and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. Now, I want to show you something. You still know what this is? We still have these today, right? Okay, this is a yardstick, okay? Now, a cubit is supposed to be the measure from the elbow to the end of the forefinger. And in my case, I measured it earlier, it was only 18 inches, I grew. It's 20 inches. For me, it's 20 inches. Actually, I really did measure this last night. Ooh. Okay, well, it's about 20 inches, okay? What? Oh, let's see. No, that was right. Let me try it on this side, okay. Yeah, 20 inches. All right, so anyway, 20 inches. You can measure yourself later if you want. They figured that those people were shorter than I am, I guess, because they figure about 18 inches for a cubit, all right? So 18 times 2, I know this is tough on Sunday, but happens to be about this much, 36 inches, right? Okay? So Now let's read. Let's keep reading here. So it says, we're in verse 31. It says, round about the camp, 2 cubits high on the face of the earth. So for this day's journey, I'll tell you about that in a minute, there were quail this high on the face of the earth. How tall do you think a quail is? They're kind of low, like this. All right? So that's a lot of little quails here piled on top of each other, okay? All right. So now it says, now class, it says that 2 cubits high on the face of the earth, and the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers. Now, you know what I'm talking about, right? 10 homers. And they spread them abroad from themselves round about the camp. So I told you about a cubit. Now, a day's journey is 20 to 25 miles. All right? So here we are in the camp. Let's make believe we're the 2.5 million Jews in the desert, okay? So just in this room right here, all right? If you go out 25 or 30 miles, I think it's that way, right? Is that west?
Yeah.
That way, okay? You know where you end up? Right around Jim Dagen's house at Bud Lake, all right? You go 25 to 30 miles that way, you're way beyond JFK Airport. You go that direction 20 or 25 miles, you're down the shore. You got all of Staten Island and you're down the shore. And you go north, I looked this up. They have this cool thing that you put a point on the map. Well, anyway, you know that. And then you go north and way beyond the Tappan Zee Bridge. All right? So, for that space from beyond the Tappan Zee Bridge to down the shore, there were quails 3 feet high around the camp. That's a lot of quail. Well, I did a calculation. Okay, math is not my major, I just want to tell you right now. But the volume of quails is over 16 trillion cubic feet. All right? Now, it says here in God's word that they gathered 10 homers. A homer, see, is nothing to do with baseball. 77 cubic feet is a homer. You know what that means? All right, so I think this is right. So if it's 1 foot high, that's 1 foot for 77 feet, right? That's 77 cubic feet. Every person that went out to gather quail brought back 77 cubic feet of quail. You think God fed them for a freaking month? That's a hell of a lot of quail. God was showing them how faithful he is. If he promises, don't ever accuse him of his hand being short, right? If he is going to do it, he's going to bring it to pass. That's how our faithful God is, and that's what he did for them. Is he any different for us? Who can quote to me Malachi 3:6? I am the Lord, I change not. That's the way our God is today. Let's go to 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy. I guess they probably got tired of quail after a while, but he was proving a point. 2 Timothy chapter 2. So what do we have to worry about that your hair got dyed the wrong color? You know what I'm saying? God is going to take care of us. God is going to meet our needs. He is going to be faithful to his word. I know there's a problem with me. I know there is. I know that I'm not always faithful. Sometimes I don't even try to be. When I do try to be, sometimes I can't be. But God is never in that circumstance. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2:13. It says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. I might not get there. I just might not accept all of God's faithfulness. God can't do that. God has to stay true. God has to stay faithful. If you'd go to James, please. We're right here in the neighborhood. James. Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. James chapter 1. See, God is faithful. He's reliable. We might waver sometimes, but God never varies, like Dewar's scotch. James chapter 1, look at verse 17. James 1, 17. Oh yeah. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, that's kind of a cool-sounding phrase. I wanted to read you this out of the Working Translation, you know, the Great Journey book. Shadow of turning in Greek refers to certain heavenly bodies like the moon and the planets, whose shadows change every night. So here's the way that it's translated. Every good act of giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shifting of shadows like the moon. Nothing. You know, it says God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is faithful. God is true. He always is what he says he's going to be. He's completely reliable. Look at Psalms, Psalm 119. Of course, you know, you pretty much have to go to Psalm 119 in a topic like this. Psalm 119. And we're going to look at verse 138. 119, 138. If we can get to the place of recognizing God's faithfulness, we should have no trouble when we come upon a promise of his in his word. Because we know that if he could do what he did to the Israelites every single day for 40 years, he probably can handle our little troubles that we have. Okay, you don't have to be honest, but how many here are under 40 years old? Okay, that's a lot of us. God brought that. I said you don't have to be honest, so. No comments. Did you write? No, never mind. 40 years. You guys, your entire life and more. God was, every morning they were waking up to manna. It's ridiculous, isn't it? But that's how faithful God is. Okay, did I tell you 119? 138. It says, thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. So God is faithful and his word is faithful. Well, that's not a stretch, right? But he states it specifically. God is faithful, his word is faithful. You all know Titus 1:9, right? Well, let's go there. We have nothing else to do. Titus, they're not going to serve the refreshments for a few minutes, so don't worry. Titus chapter 1, Timothy, Titus chapter 1, and verse 9. Titus 1, 9. When I tell him I'm fine, okay. Titus 1, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Really, please turn it off. Thank you. Let's read it again, all right? Holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. There's people that come along and say, oh, I can't believe God. He's just, you know, like everybody else. But if you can show people God's faithfulness, you convince them. We convince them with his word. If you go, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Of course, faith and faithfulness are used a lot in the Bible. God is very, very clear that he is faithful, that he will never fail us, that he'll always be that way because he doesn't change. Hebrews 11:11. Easy one to remember. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. You know, Abraham and Sarah, they got kind of old and they still didn't have kids, right? And Sarah so wanted to have a child. God promised it to Abraham, and it took him a little while to get around to really believing what God said. It was many years after God had given them the promise that they finally had that child. But God promised. When God promises, it's going to come to pass, whether it looks like it or not. God may tell you, bring your umbrella. You don't understand because it looks so sunny out. But God is faithful. If God tells you something, it's going to come to pass. We should never, ever doubt that. Because all the things that we see around us are temporary. They are going to change. They are going to go away someday. But God remains faithful. So let's go to Romans chapter 4. Because there's something just beautiful here I want to show you about Abraham and Sarah. Romans chapter 4. Romans 4:18. When they believed, they reaped the benefits of God's faithfulness to a promise that he made to Abraham so many years before. 4:18. It says, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. You all know in the original it says he did consider his body. He looked at his body and he said, dead. That's what happened, all right? And when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he promised, he was able also to perform. He did get to the place that he finally said, okay, God, if you say it, that's it. For me, that's it. And guess what happened? No matter how dead it looked to him, no matter how dead Sarah's womb was, made no difference whatsoever, because God is faithful to his word. I understand, look, in my life, in your life, sometimes we're not faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. If his word says it, what difference does it make if I don't feel like it? If God's word says it, it's going to come to pass, because God is faithful. He is always true to his word from now and forever. 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 10. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. It'd be cool sometime to go through the word and look at where God had promised something and when it was fulfilled. There's some really interesting records in God's word. That God had said something one time and it was fulfilled sometimes many years later. Other times it happened right away. But you can be sure if he promised it, it's going to happen. 1 Corinthians 10. This one helps all of us. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. If God promises it, you know he's faithful. And I might have a temptation. I might have a little trouble in my life. So what? God's faithful. So if I trust in his word, am I going to get the result? God is faithful. Oh, a couple more. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 24, please. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he that called you, who will also do it. Faithful is he that called you, and he's gonna do it. God states in his word he's gonna do it. You can be pretty sure he's gonna do it. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. I mean, I don't know how many times we have to say it. The word of God says it many times because we're people. And it's always true. God is faithful. You know, just like manna, we have something that also every single time that we can do, and it will never, ever fail us. You know what that one thing is? Speaking in tongues. If you've ever spoken in tongues, you can always speak in tongues, anytime, any place, for the rest of your life. Because it's something that God has given us by the Spirit. Yes, it's supernatural. It's insane that we can do this, but we can. And every single time, and I've tried it in all different situations, and guess what? It works. It works in airplanes. It works under the sea. I tried it all different places. It works. It works. Just like manna every morning, if we're starting to doubt that God's going to bring his word to pass, if it looks a little bleak, speak in tongues. Because just like manna every morning, God's faithful. God's faithful. We read the one in Thessalonians, right? Let's go to Lamentations, please. One of my favorite verses. So, you know where Lamentations is? Okay, it's right before Ezekiel. Does that help? So Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Chapter 3. Lamentations 3. It's worth it when you get there, I swear. Right? Lamentations, it's worth the trouble. Chapter 3. Verse 22. I think of this verse all the time. It's just because I'm so screwed up, I guess. 3:22. It's of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed. We are not grease spots because of God's great mercy. That's what it says here. My translation. Because his compassions fail not. His compassions fail not. It takes compassion for somebody to see someone else who has a need and to help them. God looks it up, us, and he goes, need. That's the way it works, right? God looks at us and he goes, need, 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 need. Compassion. He has tremendous compassion to help us. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. What a tremendous section of scripture that we can remember because God is faithful. He is going to bring his word to pass. There's one other place I want to go, and that's in Psalms, please. Go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Kings, Chronicles, Psalm 139. You know what it takes sometimes for us is to just get a lot of God's word in our brains so that we have it there when we're tempted to think something different from what God's word says. And then we've got that word of God to remind us. We speak in tongues to remind us that God is faithful. If he promised, it's going to come to pass. If it's not coming to pass right this minute, it's still going to come to pass because it's God. He can't lie. He can't contradict himself. It has to come to pass. Psalm 139. We're going to read a few verses here. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Verse 3. Thou compassest my path with lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my mouth, in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I can't attain to it. Where am I going to go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and darkness and light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, that means for me in inward parts. Thou covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in the book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they're more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. You see this? He's going over and over saying, God, no matter what I do, no matter where I am, no matter what condition, you're there. And in our lives, it's no different. God is faithful. If we ever doubt, we might doubt ourselves, but let's never doubt God. And let's also not try to do God's job for him, okay? Because we're going to be like Moses and fail miserably. And don't make God have to prove himself to you. You don't really want quail, do you, for the 100 miles around you? But let's just trust that his word is faithful. I found this little poem I thought I'd read. It's called Faithful Again. Faithful again, Lord, you've been faithful again. From morning till night, your grace never ends. As I look back in praise, as I look at another day's end, I see all through the day, you've been faithful again. All right, so love you guys.